Hello, hello, hello. Thanks for joining me today, listeners. So my guest today is Angelique Meadow. Now, she is a person who can help us find our way. And what I mean by that is really to find and understand your inner self and your soul. So please welcome Angelique Meadow. And if you want to visit her website, you can do so by going to willyougrow.com. So without further ado, let's get right into it. We're going to keep things really casual because, you know, we don't want to stress out. We don't want to have anxiety about this, right?
Right.
Like, put that right in there. So, that's what you're all about is soul searching, relieving stress, anxiety, positive affirmations, and really having the best life possible, if that's okay to sum everything up like that.
Yeah, perfect.
But rather than me putting those words into your mouth, if you would like, Angelique, if you could give the viewers, the listeners, a little bit of a background as to who you are, where you've come from, and some of your accomplishments, because I know you're an author. You have been on HGTV, I think maybe a travel channel, but you have currently still have a travel business and a mentorship business and everything. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Yes, I have been really blessed to be able to do some of the things I love in my life. I started out knowing that I loved doing design work. So as a child, I started remodeling things in my mind. I have the ability to see what things can be before they happen. So I could see a beautiful old home, and I knew what it could look like when it's finished. And I can see all that in my mind. Throughout my life, I learned how to guide contractors in order to be able to implement these things and how to lead the people who are owning the home in faith so that they can make those steps to make the changes in their home and their life and live the dream life that they want. It's a struggle in the process, though. You know, we have to overcome our own fears of how much money is it going to cost and what's going to really change in my life and can I do it? And in that process of working with couples, mostly in homes, I also started to get a real personal connection with the people. And we started working on issues that were more on a personal level, like improving their relationships in the same way. And when we're in a home, you know, we're tearing down walls, it's a mess. We really get to connect on a emotional level. You know, the home is one of the most sacred places, and I felt the opportunity to be able to really help people to feel what it is that they want on a deeper level and then tear down the inner walls that hold them back from that. So we help them release limitations. Sometimes the housewives who are really maybe creative, but not necessarily physical, like they don't get involved in the process, we get them with a hammer and have them start like hammering stuff out from the walls, and they change. It's not just watching the wall come down outside of them. It's knowing that the wall is also coming down inside them to things that they never thought were possible. And it makes a shift in here and they feel more confident. So I've just helped people on the outside and the inside to remodel themselves, release addictions, have better relationships with themselves and others.
Yeah, like you're saying, construction, contractor, subcontracting, and things like that, like you're talking about that you had done for years. It's because sometimes these mental things, they're not physical. We can't touch them. So we have to put them into something else, or like you said, if you're taking a hammer and you're breaking down that wall, something is manifested, but you're breaking down something physical and you're rebuilding. So I can see that where for many people that can happen. And sometimes I think people go through these remodeling process in home because they want to make a change or something, and because they're always seeing something that reminds them of something. So is that kind of how you see it with some of these folks out there when you're helping them?
You've summed it up.
Oh, well, the show's over. Let's go home. But yeah, it's because I wholeheartedly believe in your message and what you're doing and everything. And it's about, you know, searching for your soul searching, right? Mm-hmm. And trying to really make the best of our lives, because Who doesn't want to have a good life?
Well, that's a good question, you know, because we have two parts of us. We're all born with the part that wants to be better, so to speak, and the part that says it's never going to work.
Yeah.
And with this process of remodeling, we get to bring that part of ourself that we deny, the part that says, oh, I can never have a prettier house, or I could never have a prettier body, or I could never, whatever, fill in the blank. That part of us needs to be incorporated and brought in so we don't make it into a devil. Because when we do that, then we end up fighting ourselves, and we literally have civil war. One part says I'm on a diet, and the next part says I'm going to eat a chocolate cake, the entire thing. We've all been there on one issue or another. I don't know if you could relate.
I'm guilty of that even last night.
Okay, see, we all do it. We all do it. We're not alone, but it's a matter of letting that come to the light and not be ashamed of it.
Yeah. You know, that it's right. We all have that kryptonite of ours. Some people turn to alcohol. Some people turn to chocolate cake, or, you know, or a bag of barbecue potato chips. That was me last night. And you sometimes don't know why you reach for that and do that. It's hence the word comfort food, I guess, on certain things, right?
Well, yes, you know, but I would love to, in my process of helping people remodel their inside, help them to recognize that what they're actually causing is a temporary denial, but a lack of comfort long term.
Mm-hmm.
Because anything we reach to, I've certainly been guilty. I have overcome addictions to binge eating, workaholism, and codependency, and none of those are to be taken lightly. Right. People think they're, you know, lighter than, let's say, you know, cutting or other suicidal tendencies, but they're all deadly. So, you know, we really all have something that we can work on, and it's okay for us to say them out loud without criticism. You know, once we learn to how to compassionately care for our whole self, we don't feel so judged by other people because we're not judging ourselves.
Yeah. And that is the one thing where we were talking about the, well, oftentimes I think, or the folks I've come across, is a lot of the negativity that they're getting. We're being bombarded by negative messages every day, all the time. But it seems like a lot of times the negative messages, we talk about positive affirmations. We give ourselves that negative affirmation, if that makes sense. You know, we sometimes, like you said, well, I can't, or my house isn't good enough, or my yard doesn't look like this, or whatever it is. Instead of saying, you know, I think I'm going to do the best I can today, and I'm going to make the most of today, and I'm going to do my, you know, the best, rather than I can't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So. Yes, I think that's beautifully said. And if we can find that little soft spot, so to speak, inside of ourselves that says, rather than saying I'm going to do everything and do it perfectly, and rather than saying I can't do anything and I'm always going to fail, just get in that middle spot of saying, I'm going to be aware of how I feel, and I'm going to care for that in this minute. Because sometimes we're going to feel more on that quote-unquote negative side, and we can say, oh, okay, for example, Angelique, you're having a bad moment. This hurts right now. What can you do to satisfy that? How can you help or comfort the sadness or the pain that you're feeling right now? And in that moment, if I can be aware of it, it's like paying attention to that part of me like no one else can. And when I do that, I can do little things like ask myself the question, what can help me right now? And maybe that means I need just to take a few minutes outside under a tree and breathe deeply. Maybe it means I need to take my dog for a walk. Maybe it means I need to phone a friend. Maybe I actually recognize that I feel thirsty, or that I need to use the restroom and haven't paying attention to my body. Taking care of ourselves on those little levels sounds like it doesn't matter, but really when you add those up over time plus play, it balances that negativity that we may be creating for ourselves. When we don't do that, that's when we end up heading for the box of donuts, the bag of chips, the gallon of ice cream, because we've let that care go too long without caring.
Yep. All makes sense. You use that word play, and it's so how do we allow ourselves to play? To, you know, when I hear that word play in this context, I think of letting things go and allowing myself to do something fun. And yes. Is that kind of what you're meaning?
Yes. And it's way harder than people give it credit for.
So how Angelique, how do we allow ourselves? How do we give ourselves that permission?
Well, it's good for us to ask ourselves the question, why can't I? Because I could give you all the rules or the guidelines in the world, but until you know inside what's holding you back from it, you can't really care for that. So for me, I felt, and I still work on this one from workaholism, that I felt like if I played, that I was being irresponsible, that I was being childish, like stupid. And that nothing was going to succeed if I didn't have grab the ball, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, that thought process was implanted in me, in my family. And I didn't realize that I had unconsciously just taken that on and believed it myself. So I was doing these things every day and pushing myself until I got physically sick, nearly to autoimmune, but I was bedridden for a period of time. That's what will happen to each of us if we don't allow play. The power of play actually helps us relax and feel safe. And we can't learn or change ourselves at all unless we're relaxed and feel safe because we're in defense mode.
Yeah. Sounds like a workaholic to me.
Exactly. Exactly.
So do you think sometimes if you kind of have that gut feeling like, gosh, I haven't seen my friends in a while, or gee, I'm always at my desk. Can it be safe to ask your friend and say, hey, do you think I work too much? Or it's, you know, it's something like that to maybe snap yourself out of it?
We can ask other people, but as I was mentioning before, it's most important for us to take maybe 5 minutes and ask ourselves, why do I think I can't? And for me, I had a base distrust that life was going to take care of me if I let the ball go.
Okay.
So for me, I needed to take time to heal my trust with life to support me. And how I did that was I took time in nature. And by taking time in nature, just observing everything around me, I saw, for example, the birds, they always get fed, but they don't even have a refrigerator. They don't have money. You know, they don't even have a house that to cover up their head from rain. And yet they survive and they can sing. So why do I have these fears that somehow life won't take care of me? That's a fundamental misunderstanding of how life really works. That was my fundamental misunderstanding. So it gave me the opportunity to watch myself. And by observing myself, I could see, you know, when I start to feel tight in my chest, that's a sign for me that I've gone too long without going outside. And so now I proactively make sure I walk every morning and observe what's happening around me. I take 5 or 10 minute breaks every couple of hours just to stand outside and take in the breath of the fresh air or sit down on the ground. These types of proactive care things help us to allow the play and the joy to happen more often.
Sounds like going back to the very beginning of what we started out with is deconstructing. At least for me, I'm thinking for myself or many of us, we need to deconstruct and rebuild and stop to take a look around or smell the roses, so to speak. Like, so just disconnect from my everyday. I don't want to put words into your mouth or put out the wrong information, but when I say take a break from my routine, that means I'm sitting in front of my desk and things like that, and then step outside, take that deep breath of fresh air, and just look around and say, wow, this is nice. Get that relaxed feeling and then go back in.
Yes, and do it before the stress.
Okay, yes, yes.
Plan to do it regularly, so often, like I say, at least every 2 hours I go outside, because if I wait until I've gotten to the stress point, then work starts to feel like work, right, instead of it being an easy flow process.
So we want to put that and make that a routine.
Yes, not because it's another thing to do, but because we actually feel better and enjoy it.
Okay.
And building our worthiness is a part of this process. If we don't feel we're worthy of having an enjoyable life, then we'll always do something to sabotage that.
Okay, gotcha. So we don't want to get to the point where I have to go outside and take a breath of air and I have to get away from my desk. It's not a have to.
Yes.
So, all right. Yeah, you can shout it out. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Like, who would you say is your favorite person? Do you have a favorite person or a favorite thing, a favorite pet, a favorite musical instrument?
Yeah,
or,
my
know?
Favorite thing in person is that shaggy dog behind me.
I can't see him. Where is he?
It's that ball. He's just a fluffy white thing back there,
cool.
All curled up.
What's his name?
Bonsai.
Oh, Bonsai, how sweet. I'm so glad he's giving Bonsai energy here today. That's lovely. Well, a good way to relate this to our conversation is we want to plan to do things regularly that we love without having the stress element involved first. So you don't think to yourself, for example, oh, I better go pet Bonsai now.
Right. I don't
think it's not a plan in your schedule, right?
Right.
So incorporate your time in nature, you're stepping outside, for example, the same way that you would loving on Bonsai. By you going outside, you're loving on yourself.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing. It's we have to love ourselves. Is it true that you have to love yourself first before you can love others? It's kind of off track a little bit, but
no, it's not. It's perfect. But the question is how you define love. You know, so much in our society, love is defined as some self-sacrificing. Mm. Like, I'm going to give everything for this person, which means I'm going to allow myself to become ill, not taken care of. I'm willing to stay up day and night. I'm willing to do anything in order to show this person something that might be defined as love. But I'm just going to posit that it's possible that love might not mean that, might look like that right now, because that's how society has defined it. We don't have to love ourselves before we can show a type of love to others, but if we can't really love ourselves in an unconditional, compassionate, gentle, kind way, we don't have the tools to love someone else in that way, because we don't know how to apply love to them in that way, because we can't do it for us.
Is it, I may be missing the mark on this, but is it as simple as treat yourself the way you want to, treat yourself the way you would treat others? It's sort of kind of, if you treat them good, why don't you treat yourself good?
I like that. I like the way that you said that. If you're going to treat others well, treat yourself well also. What you're saying also touches on the issue that we have with do unto others as you would have done unto you.
Yes.
Which is, even when I've spoken with persons high up in the clergy and other religious folks, there is a fundamental problem in this, because an example would be, do you love chocolate? I know it sounds off topic, but do you love chocolate?
You know, I know I shouldn't, but yes.
Okay. If you love chocolate and you want to do unto others as you would have done unto you, you would give me a box of chocolates for a gift, thinking that was a great gift, right?
thinking so. Yes, yes.
But if I don't love chocolate, that's not a good gift for me.
Right. Yeah. Now I know where you're going now. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's a gift you would want to receive.
Yes.
So we really ought to do unto others as they would have done unto themselves.
Yes. Because each one of us is an individual. Just because I like chocolates and I'm thinking, well, I'm going to give you a box of chocolates because I like it. Like I said, you may not like a box of chocolates. So.
Right. So learning to do unto ourselves as we would have done unto ourselves, and learning to do unto others as they would have done unto themselves, is an entirely different scenario, but everyone becomes happier in the end because you get chocolates and I get, for example, white chocolate. But I actually do like all chocolate. You see where I'm going with this.
I would have given you a book. You know, speaking of books and everything, you do have books available. And I just want to make sure that folks know where they could go and find more information about you and about some of the things that you do. Because as I mentioned earlier on, you still do a travel program, a mentorship and things like that, right?
Yes. Yes, and thank you for asking. Yeah. Yep, we do travel adventures, personal growth, and tips and tools for unconditional love. So with our personal growth, we do mentoring, we do packages of mentoring, one-on-one training, any type of guided meditations, lots of different types of energy work, also psychological work. And then we do travel adventures, which are super fun. Our next adventures are to the Smoky Mountains, one of my favorite places to go for a hiking trip. I have great intuitive connections in nature and have lots of fun stories of my conversations with trees and other animals and interactions I've had over the years. So I teach people how to do that out in the forest. That's next month, June and July. We'll have trips there. And then we're also going to South Carolina next month to Hunting Island. It's just a beautiful beach place where you can sit outside and feel like you're in the middle of a different world. The sights and sounds are all very tropical. We take bike rides, walks on the beach. There's a lighthouse, and I also do more guided meditation and satsang there. And then we also have the tips and tools you see behind me. So I've got 11 different styles of journals on the bottom. I teach people how to journal using affirmations. These two books are affirmations. One is a coffee table book, and one has a journal to it. This is a deck of cards, which has the same affirmations as these two books. There are 72 affirmations inside, alongside intuitive pictures that help you feel. So your two sides of you, feeling and thinking, angel and devil, so to speak. Those two sides will help, the pictures will help you feel, the words will help you think, and doing the two together and journaling about your thoughts and feelings from those affirmations help you to unite your thoughts and feelings, which is called heart-mind resonance. And when you're doing that, you feel peace in here and in the world and like you belong.
That was heart-mind resonance, right?
Resonance.
Not resonance, but resonance.
Sort of. You feel like a resident in this one once you've done it. Yes. Yes. And you can go to willyougrow.com to learn more about that. That's willyougrow.com. Or if you're interested in learning more about the remodeling side of my business, then you'll go to my name, angeliquemeadow.com, to learn about remodeling inside, outside, and working on creating a beautiful place for you to live.
You know, two things that I want to touch on. First is on that the travel part and what you do. And then again, going back to the remodel, rebuild in your home, which would be your surroundings. Now, the way I think about it is when you take vacations, you take a vacation or trip to get away from your normal surroundings. And it seems like that when you do that, and especially in your situation that you offer folks, is you allow yourself to be more open to other things. So you don't have those normal surrounding bad things, if we want to call it that, bombarding you, saying, pulling you, oh, you can't do that. You got to go over here and finish this. Or you can't. Is that kind of true? You go on this trip and it's like, hey, I'm away from my normal surroundings. I am open. Now feed me with everything. Sort of.
Yes, that's beautifully said, because when we take ourselves out of our usual environment, we automatically open up to new experiences.
Mm-hmm. Have you found,
even if you're going to a restaurant.
Yes.
You've never been before.
Yes.
You're like, oh, what's on the menu? You're willing to try something new because you've never been there.
Yeah, that's right. Whenever we do something different new, we're experiencing something different and we're opening up and allowing that new experience to come in. So, yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I don't have to go to the mountains, or I don't have to go to Tennessee, or although it'd be nice, Blue Ridge Mountains, that would be very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then as far as the remodel, the construction and things like that, is that because we live in our homes and we're surrounded constantly by all those things in our house, do you feel, is it a good idea to remodel or change things around every once in a while, and not a $10,000 remodel, maybe just, you know, a little trinket over here, or just maybe move this little statue or vase or vase, however you want to say it?
Mm-hmm.
Is that helpful?
Yes, it's a refreshing change to your ordinary, and it allows you to recognize that even though all the trinkets are in the same place, that life is always changing anyway.
Yeah.
So it's too easy to get set in our schedules or ideas of what life is going to be every day, which might feel safe, but it's also not reality. So we can get stuck in just always the same routines. But if we even just start moving trinkets, literally, we start opening up without even knowing it.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing.
On topic, but a little bit off, light and the color of light and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that affect people in different ways or positive ways, or can it?
More ways than they know. As a matter of fact, whether it's light or color in any of the rooms, the textures of the fabrics, the smells, anything that affects our senses is going to affect the way that we feel about ourselves, because as within, so without, and so without, as within. So you are right on. One way that you can know this for sure for yourself is if you stand in front of some LED lights for a long period of time, you will, even an hour, you will start to feel drained if you're in touch with your senses, versus a halogen light, which is much warmer, and it also doesn't have the flicker, which most people can't see at an conscious eye level, but there is a flicker that goes on with those LEDs that your body is almost being attacked by the light when it does this. So you have to put up a defense, which takes energy.
Yeah, some cameras can see that, and boy, yeah. It was kind of a lead-in, because lights, I use lights and color lights for mood and things like that to set the stage for me for relaxing. And I love these. I love going into the house, and I'm going to call that little box that so many of us have, I'm going to call it John, do this. So, you know, it's that letter A. If I say it, this thing's going to say, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. But I have my lights connected to that, and whatever my mood is, I can tell it to go to red or to blue or to orange or down to a natural, you know, different Kelvin. And it, for me, it definitely makes a difference. I just feel it, and it's getting towards that end of the day kind of thing, or whatever it is, or it sets my mood to sit down and watch a movie and relax.
Chuck, I'm so proud of you. I mean, this is something most people don't recognize. They might think that, oh, it's cool if some guy has like under lights in his car that are blue or something like that. But they don't recognize the feeling that's actually happening when they're surrounded by a color. And it does. It affects our mood. It affects the way that we feel. And it affects the way our body is actually functioning. So good for you for recognizing that and using it to your best asset.
I like setting the stage for things.
you have, just like you do with this podcast. You make it a pleasure for those of us who are on with you.
Yeah. Now, as far as podcasts go, you have a podcast as well, right? Or is it more?
I do.
Yeah.
Yep.
So tell us a little bit about
thank you.
That.
Will you grow adventure and love? So we talk about all types of ways to grow within, grow without, just like we've talked about today. We've taken adventures learning how to journal, why to journal. I go out on tour, so if I'm out on location somewhere, I might come and bring a tip. It's just nice ways to touch base with ourselves and be uplifted for an hour a week and enjoy some time doing something that is reflective within.
And an hour a week is not that much time out of our lives. And in fact, it doesn't even take an hour a week. It just takes some time, and whatever that time is that we need is all you need. I'm kind of learning that from you, where it's my time, it might be 10 minutes, and your time might be 60 minutes. So we are all different, whatever time it is that you need. I will be truthful and say that I like to take 7 minutes out of the day for certain things. So listen to sounds, different resonant sounds to, you know, calm me down or whatever it is. It just puts me in that in that tranquil, peaceful place. Gosh, everybody's going to think I'm strange, especially my friends, if they listen to this.
No, this is excellent. This is wonderful. And if they don't do it, maybe they're just jealous of the fact that you do, that, you know, they would be making fun of you. We all really need to give ourselves the freedom to ask, what is it that will make me feel best? And then try things. You know, people who don't ever try that, they're really bound. They're in bondage to whatever judgment or criticism they have of themselves. And we don't want that for ourselves. We've probably lived in that long enough. I hope that if anything, people could take from this podcast from me to allow themselves to explore and get curious about what it is that actually makes them feel better. Not just short term, like donuts and cigarettes and sex, drugs and rock and roll and whatever. Although those might be nice for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, they always leave a long-term scar. So take that time. Don't be afraid to find out what's under the covers or under the bed, so to speak, in the dark of who we are. Don't be afraid of that. It's just a part of us that's looking to be fulfilled in a healthy way. We can learn how to do that, whether it's the way Chuck does it through different sounds for 7 minutes a day, or the way I do it sitting outside in nature and breathing in and meditating. Find the way that works for you, because there is a way and you are not alone.
Do you have any final words? I mean, your final words were fantastic, but do you have any final words?
You might ask, how do you explore yourself? And I might suggest, we all have probably had a lover at one point that we were absolutely fascinated with, that we wanted to know everything about. Find ways that you can be that lover to yourself. Find out, what is my favorite fragrance? What is my favorite color right now? What is it that I really would love to experience? And find a way to take steps towards that for yourself. And you will find that your confidence grows, because self-inquiry, asking yourself questions, self-inquiry is self-love. And when you love yourself, you love everyone more.